At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
It is indeed 4 o'clock on a very busy Wednesday. A lot going on. The New York Giants are going to begin the Mike Kafka era on Sunday. He met the media for the very first time today as he replaces Brian Daboll. And the New York Jets, believe it or not, are going to play tomorrow. It's sneaking up on you, but they're going to look to win their third consecutive game as they do it against the New England Patriots. And joining us right now, a guy does a great job covering both teams for SNY, and that is Connor Hughes. Connor, good to talk to you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Evan. How are you, buddy?
Good. What was your reaction to that Monday early afternoon announcement that Brian Daboll is being removed of his duties?
It wasn't overly surprising. I don't think that was the case. You know, there were, when they blew the fourth quarter, they endured that fourth quarter collapse again, and Dart got hurt. That was when I think all of us who cover the team started talking to the people that we know, and everyone was kind of put on high alert, and it was just a matter of when they were going to pull the trigger. But I don't think it was super surprising. It's actually Aaron Glenn who has the saying that the final 4 minutes of each half are on the coaching staff, and the Giants have just been a complete and total disaster in that regard. So, it became pretty clear that, A, the fourth quarter collapses were getting to ownership, and then, two, I think there was a little bit of a different agenda with the way that Brian Daboll was coaching this team, where it was almost a bit in an act of self-preservation with the way that he was using Jackson Dart. And every one of us within the media has brought up to him that the hits that Dart takes is just not sustainable. You know, yeah. He's not 250 like Josh Allen, man. The guy's like 220 pounds wet. So it's just, he knew that it was going to catch up to him. He's been checked 4 times for a concussion. When he gets hurt on another designed quarterback run, it was just like, what are we doing here? So Giants decided to move on from Daboll, and now we start the Mike Kafka era.
Just to follow that up real quick, Connor, how much of that is on Mike Kafka? He's the play caller, correct?
You're right, yeah. I mean, I think it is a little bit of both, but it's just, and maybe this is just a detriment to who we get a chance to talk to every single day.
No, you're right.
We're not hammering Kafka every single day about what's going on. I mean, the Jackson Dart's play style has been a topic dating back to training camp. I mean, I literally, if you remember, the very first preseason game against the Buffalo Bills, he didn't slide. He got walloped from the side. He fumbled. If I think the Giants recovered that one, or maybe he was eventually ruled down, something like that, but we're in the locker room talking to Dart, and we're like, hey, you know, don't you got to slide? And he goes, yeah, I got to protect myself. But honestly, I kind of think Daboll likes it.
Yeah.
And so this has never been something that was stressed, never been something that's been pointed out. It's always been like, hell yeah, dude, go play with your you-know-what on fire. Let's go do this.
And right.
It was going to catch up to the Giants, and it did.
And in fairness, this is a very subjective question. that I'm going to ask now. But tell me, Connor, how you felt listening to Mike Kafka. Because we can read it, but we weren't there. How did you feel listening to him as now the interim head coach?
Better than when he was the offensive coordinator. I mean, his press conferences when he was an offensive coordinator were bad, man. I mean, it was like just eye-rolling cliches and just nothing there. I mean, there was a little bit more energy, which actually Darius Slayton talked about. He said Kafka was kind of popping around a little bit once he was named head coach. So he was a little bit more enlightening, a little bit more informative, offered a little bit more color. I thought he was certainly there was a stretch there where I was like, man, it is just going to be something you want to skip every single day. But right. I don't think it was like that. It was certainly better than it's been.
All right, there's a couple of things I want to get to with Tim Kelly. Ultimately, he's the offensive coordinator. What's going to happen potentially change-wise defensively. But I can't go farther without asking you about Jameis Winston, because we just heard some sound from his press conference. And I can't wait to play it because he is glorious to listen to. The feel on Jameis, we knew what he was here for, long-term tutor or mentor, you could say, for Jackson Dart. He's a two-year deal instead of the one-year deal like Russell Wilson. But he's getting the start. We said on Monday this the Russell Wilson era has to end. You can't go forward with that any longer. Jameis is going to bring excitement. He's going to be some screaming and yelling, positive and negative. But what was the feel around everyone with the Jameis Winston news?
Yeah, the press conference was something, right? I was actually in the locker room talking to some guys, and then I caught the sound from Mike Kenny was our videographer for SNY, and he was relaying. He was singing Hamilton lyrics and all that stuff. So he's 1-on-1, man.
No doubt.
Jameis, there's a show that comes with Jameis that's not only just the quarterback. And I think maybe at this point in his career, he understands who he is, that he's embraced being the entertainer, almost readying himself for a life after football. But I think from a player perspective, they don't care what he says on a podium. I think what guys are pretty amped up about right now is that they know that there is no such thing as a 50-50 ball with Jameis Winston. The guy has never seen a throwing lane or a hole that he doesn't believe he can complete a pass into. And there are going to be times where that works and you're like, holy cow, I can't believe he threaded that needle. And there's going to be times where you're like, holy cow, there's Jameis Winston's fifth interception of the day. You know, that's who he is. You live with it, you die by it. I don't think it's sustainable long term, which is why not that many people were vying for his services this offseason. He's probably just a backup quarterback who's perfectly suited for to give you two or three games of a spark when he has to go in there, but you don't want to see him for 8 to 10 games. So I think guys are actually pretty amped up. I know Darius Slayton was, because I brought it up to him. I said, you know, this is a guy who kind of is known to give his receivers a chance, and his eyes lit up like a kid on Christmas, man. I mean, he's excited, because you know that when you have a quarterback that's going to take chances like that, it's going to give the receivers chances to make plays on the ball.
Not that we should care about Russell Wilson, but what was his reaction to being benched? It's one thing to be benched for the first round pick. Now he's being benched for Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I'll be honest. We can talk about draft picks, and we can talk about evaluations, and we can talk about miscalculations and all that. I don't know if there was a worse miscalculation made by the Giants than what they had with Russell Wilson, Evan, because this guy, forget the fact they added him. I have zero qualm whatsoever with the Giants saying, hey, Russell's got the Steelers to the playoffs. We're looking for a bridge quarterback. Let's bring him in here and let's kind of see what if we can squeeze a little last juice out of a guy who's got a chance to make the Hall of Fame. No, the Giants brought him in, named him the starting quarterback no matter what. There was absolutely no quarterback controversy where we weren't even seeing other guys, especially Jackson Dart, get first-team reps in summer. So even when Dart took over, there was no chemistry with Jackson Dart. With Malik Nabers whatsoever. He never worked with him. They gave Russell every single rep. They said, oh, we know this guy has a ton of great football left in him, yada, yada, yada. And now, not only was he benched for Dart, but now he's benched for Jameis Winston. And I just don't think you could overlook that. I really don't. I think that if this was, and I've talked to people within that building, that if this was an open competition, people believe that Russell Wilson never would have been the starter against the Commanders in week one, that he would have lost that job.
100%. I agree with that, Connor. Yeah. I was there. I saw some at training camp. He doesn't throw the ball over the middle of the field. It negates literally 70% of what they want to do in their passing game. And I love the guy. He's awesome. And he's motivational. He's very authentic, even though it's sometimes weird and corny, but it is what it is. It's the Jameis Winston, now Jackson Dart show. But the question that now persists is Mike Kafka is the head coach. He is going to have to continue to call plays, which we know is daunting. Yeah. The Sean Paytons of the world and the Andy Reids, they've been doing this forever. It's not an issue for them. He named Tim Kelly as the offensive coordinator, and he talked about marrying the run and the pass and some of the in-game decisions. What effect is that going to have? What's the machination going to look like come game day for Mike Kafka now calling the plays, also making his decisions, but Tim Kelly being the OC?
We're going to learn. And Brian Daboll a year ago, when he took play calling back from Kafka, he was adamant that look at all these offensive-minded coaches, and of them, like, you know, he had the stats. It was like 87% call their own plays, yada, yada, yada. But, like,
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I've seen it work really well when head coaches take over. I mean, you were probably on, you were when Fossil took him back, right?
100%.
He took him back from Sean Payton. Yeah, so there have been times where you had the head coach takes it back and it works and all that stuff. So I've seen it both ways. You can point out that was a while ago, but you can point towards that and several other examples. You can also go to where it was a complete and total disaster, where Jeff Ulbrich retained the defensive play calling for the Jets and just completely and totally drowned. So I think the Kafka for the time being is going to continue call plays. If it totally and completely regresses, it wouldn't surprise me if he hands it back over, but you kind of got to wait and see what it looks like before totally judging if he can or can't do it.
We're talking to Connor Hughes about the Giants. We'll get to the Jets in a couple of minutes. It feels like when Jeff Ulbrich took over, there was no chance he was going to keep that job. When Steve Spagnuolo took over for Ben McAdoo, there was no chance he was going to keep that job. It feels a little different for Mike Kafka that it may not be the likeliest scenario, but if they win, he can keep the job. Where do you stand on Kafka possibly being a real legitimate candidate for this job, and what do you think needs to happen for him to turn it into the real job?
Believe it or not, Evan, when the Jets, I know it was such a total disaster with Ulbrich that it's like, oh my God, there was no way. Woody Johnson actually believed he was giving the team a spark and Jeff could have been the head coach. It was flawed thinking, very, very flawed thinking, but that was real. That wasn't just like, oh, finish this one out. They thought they had like a legitimate head coach on staff in Jeff. I think that there's a better chance than people think that if Kafka performs very well the rest of this year, the Giants don't stick with him. And the big reason why, and Ryan Dunleavy, the New York Post, points this out all the time whenever I talk to him, is that John Mara has talked about many of his regrets over the past years, and one of the biggest ones was the way that he believed, or by just consistently and constantly changing the head coach, changing the offensive play caller, changing the scheme that he was trying to learn, that basically the Giants did absolutely nothing to help him. If Kafka shows the potential to be a real good head coach, and this isn't just a Giants logic. He's interviewed 8 times for head coaching openings and had opportunities elsewhere, I think, to get offensive coordinator spots that maybe would have gotten him to a head coaching job sooner. The Giants just kept blocking them and not letting him take a lateral move. If he shows some legitimacy these next few weeks, the rest of this year, the Giants finish the season with a winning record, which I know seems crazy saying now, but Jackson Dart gets back in there and really starts thriving or keeps thriving like he had and like he was playing before the Bears, I don't think it's an asinine thing to think the cast is going to stay, because you've got a guy at that point who would have shown a let him hire his own defensive coordinator in the offseason,
right,
and you can see the relationship budding with Dart.
Yeah, let's talk about the defensive coordinator. We're getting a lot of calls and a lot of speculation about why did Shane Bowen keep his job? It's been bad, et cetera, et cetera. And we heard Kafka talk about the communication, and maybe it feels like there's going to be some changes. I think the reality is, and you can confirm or deny or refute this, there really wasn't someone to take his spot on staff. And so Shane Bowen stays, but what's going to change, if anything?
I would say that it would have been a lot if they fired Dable on Monday. So within 5 or 6 days, to ask Mike Kafka to take over as this team's head coach, no longer the offensive coordinator, find a new offensive coordinator. Oh, by the way, promote somebody else to be your defensive coordinator. I think that would be a lot for a guy who hasn't done it before, because Kafka's never been a head coach. The key word in everything that everyone has said and everyone's spoken to and everyone's kind of reported on now is that additional staff changes are not expected, and Kafka literally said this today, right now.
Right.
Right now, they are not expecting additional staff changes. If the Packers drop 30 on the Giants on Sunday, I fully expect there to be a new defensive coordinator the next week for the Giants.
Right,
I fully expect
so
that.
Connor, should we hear this as everyone is on notice?
Everyone who you would think should be on notice is on notice.
Right.
I don't think Kelly's on notice as the offensive coordinator,
right,
or I don't think stuff like that. But yeah, defensively and specifically with Shane Bowen, yeah, I think so. But John Mara, you know him a heck of a lot better than I do, Tiki. That is a passionate, emotional, die-hard Giants fan more than anything else. He's not a fan that's out there that looks at this as a business, making money and all that stuff. He lives and dies with this team.
Yep.
And those losses are, you know, they're eating them up. And the defense, which was eating up all the way back to last year when we talked to him at the end of the season, it's still eating them up. Where if it continues, there's going to be a change. I would be floored if there wasn't.
Which is why, and we're talking to Connor Hughes, which is why when the Giants released the statement a few days ago that said Joe Shane is going to lead the head coaching search, I was skeptical, because in my mind, like, if they go 0-7, if this season is a disaster,
correct,
I could see ownership changing their mind. So for Giant fans out there, because many want Joe Shane gone, they want him gone today, where do things stand on Joe Shane's future as the general manager of the Giants?
So I reported this right after Dable was fired, and it's kind of the best way to describe it. And I am removing my personal opinion from this. Because at the end of the day, like, I'll write a column and tell you all I think about what the Giants should do and the job that Joe Shane's done. And I kind of did that a couple days ago and explained my stance on it. But at the end of the day, like, my opinion doesn't matter, man. So this is me explaining to you how the Giants do things and what the Giants are thinking.
All right.
There are still people within this organization who are very high on Joe Shane and that hold Joe Shane in a very high regard. They do not have any plans right now in replacing Joe Shane. They plan on having him lead their head coaching search and being a very commanding voice along with Tisch and Mara in this head coaching search. They look at this roster and see this roster as one that has legitimate talent. And we can absolutely poke holes in it. We can find the faults in that statement, but that is how the Giants think right now. If this team wins one game the rest of the year, or even with Kafka, and they've gotten rid of Brian Daboll, who is now scapegoated as the reason they keep losing these close games, if the wheels completely fall off like they did for Jeff Ulbrich and the Jets a year ago, I do not think that Joe Shane is 100% safe in any way, shape, or form. The Giants aren't expecting that to happen, which is why the Giants expect Shane back, and they still hold him in this high regard. But if the wheels completely fall off this thing, I do think additional changes could come.
All right, last one before we kick over to the Jets. Jackson Dart in concussion protocol. Any idea when he's going to get back to football operation or football, whatever, activities, et cetera, and be cleared? Because it could be a week, it could be longer.
Yeah, unfortunately, they gave us nothing on that.
Right.
Like that was, aside from telling us to ask Rich Cimini, we weren't given too much in terms of the injury report.
Speaking of Rich Cimini, Cotter. What's your take on Aaron Glenn's new approach towards the media? Sometimes it's humorous. He's legitimately laughing. And other times it's like, are you effing with me? Or like, what's going on here? Like, so how do you take Aaron Glenn after his second consecutive win after the bye week?
I'll say I talked to somebody actually at the Jets about this. I can get into arguments until I'm blue in the face about why I don't feel an adversarial relationship with the media is beneficial to anyone involved. But it's very clear that Glenn just doesn't care. So he doesn't care. So he doesn't care if the back pages of the Post and the Daily News and Newsday rip him to shreds. He doesn't care if they're standing in the media throwing him fastball. If he doesn't care, then like what? Why? All I'm going to do is turn blue in the face. Like nothing's going to change. It's just,
right. It's
his opinion. I actually read a little bit that he was kind of ornery like this as well in Detroit with the media. His thing was just like it's with the media. You know what I mean? Like it's just how he was. So
right. This
is just how he is, and it's not a bad. I mean, look, I don't take it personal.
Right.
Like, I throw plenty of shots at coaches and general managers. I can't sit here and be like, oh, my God, how dare you if they throw a couple back at me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So it feels very, right, Connor, it feels very Jim Fossil-ish to me in 2000.
Yeah.
Like, look at me. And everything else that really matters is going to happen without you ever asking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no problem with it. Like, it's not going to make suddenly softballs come out of nowhere. If anything, anyone who's got a fastball is going to start throwing it. You're turning into the Terminator in Major League right now. Like, everyone's going to throw one.
Yeah.
But it's just, if he's willing to deal with that, then, like, go for it. Like, all right, fine. Like, it's just who he is. And that's what I said. I was talking to somebody over at the Jets. It's like, at the end of the day, we can argue, is this the right tactic? Is this the wrong tactic? It doesn't matter because the guy, he doesn't care. So he's just going to do things his way, and for better or worse.
Connor, you said something the other day that really made me sick. And it's nothing you said. It's your reporting, so it's nothing like personal. But you were talking about Mike Vrabel, who the Jets will face tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
You said, and I want you to repeat it for everyone if they didn't hear this, that basically he liked us. He was willing to come here, if not for Robert Kraft saying, let's get rid of Jerod Mayo after 1 year. That gives me a stomachache thinking about Mike Vrabel possibly in an alternate universe being the Jets head coach.
Yeah, well, dude, I mean, that's a credit to them. You guys know me. Like, I have no problem taking shots at the Jets. Everyone makes fun of me for that. But that's a legitimate testament to them. Like, he was not turned off by Woody Johnson at all. He had a really, really, he had very, very good conversations with Jaime. Like he liked everybody within the building. And I genuinely believe, and this isn't me being led the wrong way, I did not get this from anyone over at the Jets. So I did not hear this from the Jets side. This is not the Jets sources or Jets personnel or anyone over in that building calling me and saying, hey, Connor, guess what? Mike Vrabel really loved us. This is not from their side whatsoever. This is from Mike's side. That said, they liked him. Like he genuinely liked the Jets. And based off of the conversations I had from that side of things, I feel very confident saying that if the Patriot job didn't come in and the Patriots being like the I compared it on SMY to essentially when you can't compete with a major college offering their former alum the job. Like, the guy's always going to go back to his alma mater,
right,
unless you're blowing him away with money. He was always going to go back to the Patriots if the Patriots job opened. If the Patriots job didn't, yeah, Mike Vrabel, I would say I'm pretty confident saying he's the Jets head coach in that alternate reality.
Crazy. And he's done absolutely in a stupendous job for the Patriots as the Jets played
them. Unbelievable.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. Now he's got a quarterback. Like,
I know.
He should have known this when he went to the playoffs with Ryan freaking Tannehill.
Right. now you got
May. Like, yeah, a little different.
Now, I take you back a year ago. The date was November 19th, 2024, so a little less than a year ago. We had you on the air. The Jets didn't have a head coach, and it was early in the process. Obviously, it's November. They're not going to hire anybody right away. And we said, look, I know it's tough, Connor. Give us a long-term prediction on who the next head coach of the Jets would be. And your answer was Aaron Glenn. So you nailed it.
Yeah. Good
so,
yeah.
So Giant fans have high expectations now when I ask you the same question.
Oh,
on November 12th, 2025, if you look into the Connor Hughes Oracle crystal ball, who will the next head coach of the Giants be?
I from my understanding, from talking, I've been making calls over the last couple of days trying to dig up and people who have talked to it. The thing that the Giants are looking for, from my understanding, is somebody who's gonna take control of this locker room and leave the locker room. They want somebody who's gonna rally. This is not. They're looking for. I remember when the Jets, you know, moved on from Todd and they wanted the offensive-minded genius to rear Sam Darnold. Like, this isn't that. They're not looking for the offensive guru to rear the Jackson Dart. They're not looking for that. They're looking for a leader of men, from my understanding, CEO type, and it doesn't matter where the guy comes from, college ranks, pro ranks.
Interesting.
I love, and I think it would be an absolute home run hire if they found a way to get Kevin Stefanski. Now, I don't know if the Browns are going to move on from him. I don't know if the Giants are going to be willing to go out of their comfort zone again because there are no connections to Stefanski from Joe Shane. There is no connection there from John Mara. But if he's let go, I just don't know how you don't see that as a very similar Mike Vrabel hire, because Vrabel was the two-time coach of the year, like Stefanski, took a team to the playoffs where he basically exceeded all expectations. And then now look at what the Patriots are now that he has talent and a quarterback and all that stuff. I think Stefanski would be a home run hire. This is a little bit of a cop-out, but I ultimately think they'd probably hire somebody that they know who has ties to the organization, because that's just what they do. They end up, you know, Shane and Dable had no ties, didn't work. Now they're going to swing back to people that do. But if it was me, I'd go Stefanski. I think
there is a tie, Connor. You're just not seeing it. Peter John Baptiste.
There you go. Yeah, there you go, Kiki. That's before my time. That's why I didn't find that one. I've got Dion and Pat. Those are the two guys I know.
Exactly. Connor, we appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having me on. Blast.
Here he is, Connor Hughes, SNY, on the Jets and the Giants. And by the way, we like to prove this to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to hear the clip of Connor Hughes from November 19th, 2024, predicting Aaron Glenn as the next head coach of the New York Jets?
Absolutely.
Here it is. So you know we're not making it up. Connor from a year ago.
Coach that I do believe is going to get a lot of consideration, and I could see him getting the job if he doesn't go to New Orleans, is Aaron Glenn. I think he hasn't done it before. He's not the offensive mind, but he's somebody who I think would take the job. I think he would excite the fan base. I think he would excite ownership. And a lot of people around the league really value him.
I love that.
All those three things were right. Like, the fan base was excited.
You're right.
Ownership was excited.
Right.
And, where are we right now at 2-7? Hey, I mean, we don't know.
You feel positive in the last couple of weeks, that's for sure. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. There will be a football game at Giants Stadium this weekend. Heading the New York Giants will be Jameis Winston, and this is why you're going to love him.
I want fans to know that I'm going to do my best. You know, obviously, I'm going to have fun, but I'm going to execute, have a surgical execution, and just play ball, man. Like, this is something I've been doing since I've been 4 years old. Now I just get to do it in the greatest city in the world. I'm going to be saying it with my son. It's the greatest city in the world. Yeah, that's a Hamilton reference, if y'all don't know. Yeah, 10-year reunion.
Oh, I love it.
I love it.
How did they not start this guy right away?
Oh, I'm telling you.
Instead, we were bored of tears by Russell Wilson. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Graham Gano going to IR. That's one of the things on the resume of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Did not look good, the handling of the kicking situation. I would guess Graham Gano is never going to kick for the New York Football Giants again. And he wasn't a bad Giant by any stretch. He was good. It was more the handling of his injuries over the last couple of years,
right,
and the decision to keep going with him. Now, Tiki, you're excited about Jameis Winston.
I'm just interested to be entertained by Jameis Winston.
No, I don't think you're alone. But what I'm really interested in is listening back to one of our coworkers and what they thought of Jameis Winston and what they think of him now. So I present to you Sean Morash on Jameis Winston back in April.
Look how much fun Jameis is going to be. No, he's not. He's fun because he does the one, his one positive is he throws the ball down the field that we've struggled with. Everything else about him has been bad in his career to the point the turnovers have been extreme. And the idea that because he's a fun, smile on your face, walking meme just makes the Giants a bigger joke if he's doing that stuff while the team's losing. Do you think the line deliver me from pick sixes is funny when it's your own team? No, it's not.
2 weeks later, Sean wasn't done. Here's more of Sean Morash's opinion on Jameis Winston.
This guy is an unintentional cancer. Cut him today.
Oh, come on.
Cut him today.
Come on.
He's not better than Russell Wilson. The team should be taking a quarterback in the draft. Wow. And Tommy DeVito still exists. Why is he here? He's here to throw interceptions and God rescue us from pick sixes. I'm glad everybody thinks the Giants can be the chuckle hut. I'm tired of being a joke. And Jameis Winston is causing this team to be more of a goddamn joke.
All right. Wow. I got to address the podium here. I can't. Wow. Skip the podium.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to allow me. I want to apologize to Jameis Winston. You are not an unintentional cancer. In fact, I have been blown away and impressed with the way Jameis Winston has carried himself from the moment he got to be a New York Giant, from everything you read, see, and you could see with your own eyes on the sidelines with his teammates and Jackson Dart. I take none of that away from him. I give him all the credit in the world, and I think he has been a model backup quarterback for the Giants. That being said, I also am excited to watch him on Sunday. Why? Because the Giants already are an unmitigated disaster and joke, and Jackson Dart is hurt. Also, I was dead wrong. Russell Wilson is not better. I was a moron that saw Russell Wilson go to the playoffs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He doesn't use the middle of the field. Jameis Winston will. I think all of that is true, and I have to, you know, give back. I was wrong on some... Wrong. What I don't think I'm wrong at, though, is... If Jameis Winston has to play more than 1 week, which with a backup quarterback, you hope you don't have to. I think that you could get the good of Jameis Winston where, dare I say, he beats the Packers and throws for 450 yards and we're going nuts. But the more Jameis Winston plays, the more you are going to lead yourself up to the pick six stuff, the interceptions. And I still stand by the fact that when it is your own team and after the game, the quarterback is standing up there laughing, having a good time, and you've lost another heartbreaker because of three interceptions, it is not funny when it is your own team. So I hope we don't get to that point, but I still stand on that, that ultimately I will still feel that way where I'm like, I'm enough. I'm done laughing at your gimmicks after the game. I just don't want to see these interceptions nonstop. And that's where I stand.
Nice one.
Look, yeah.
Jameis Winston can win games. He's going to lose some as well, but he can win games, and he's going to throw the ball at will, right? It's not going to be, oh, I'm scared to throw this football downfield. And ultimately, I think Connor was alluding to this. Connor Hughes, we just had on. If you missed it, you can go rewind just about 38 minutes ago. And he was great talking about what's going on with the Giants right now. But he also mentioned Darius Slayton's response to Jameis Winston being named the starting quarterback. He's going to give your wide receivers a chance.
Mm.
And as a receiver, any kind of ball carrier or skill position player, all you want's a chance.
Yeah.
Give me a chance to make a play and be great at what I'm being asked and / paid to do. And Jameis will do that. Russell Wilson wasn't doing that, save for one game, the Dallas game. But after that, he was scared to throw the ball. Remember the three third down or three yep. Red zone, tight red zone passes in game three? That was the third game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, where he hit the goalpost.
Right, hit the goalpost. Like, what are you doing? And so
yeah,
that's not going to be Jameis.
No, not at all. Not at all. I thought that rant was wildly entertaining.
Yes, it was.
And I think you owned it. You owned it by saying, look, I was wrong. I
mean, you could be right, but you're probably going to
be
right.
Well, I think where he's right, and it's true now that we're going to live it, is if he throws four interceptions, it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I agree with you. I find him singing Hamilton right now hilarious. I find him talking about, you know, playing in the snow and how beautiful it is. I find it hilarious. I love it all. I love Jameis Winston. But you are right. I don't think I would ever argue this. That if he costs this team a game by throwing bad interceptions,
right,
you're not going to laugh. Clearly. But I think where you hit it on the head in terms of owning your own mistakes, and I think we could all own this, is that we misjudged how done Russell Wilson is and was.
Not Tiki.
Not Tiki, because you said he was washed a year and a half. You're right. I think even in your clip, my opinion, like, we just thought Russell Wilson was better.
Yeah.
And clearly he's not.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And you signed him first, and after that, you still had Tommy DeVito, who, whatever you want to believe about Tommy DeVito, he was a good teammate in the life of the building. Everybody loves Tommy. He's an everyman, and he could play. You saw it in his first year that he had to play, and you saw it, honestly, in the preseason when he balled out in some of those games. He was actually growing as a young quarterback. He was never going to be the future, right, but it is what it is. Now, here's what you're getting with Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston played, or started, I should say, 6 games last year. He played in 7. There were games where his first start, he threw for 334 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. They beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Not bad.
It's not bad at all. The next week, he threw for 35 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. That was a loss. New Orleans, 395 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. They lost that game, 219. And then against the Denver Broncos, this is in Denver last year, Jameis Winston threw for 497 yards.
Damn.
And four touchdowns.
Damn.
But he also had three interceptions.
That's entertaining.
And they lost the game 41-32. And then that was his only win was against Pittsburgh and then New Orleans. So it's just he's not necessarily a winning quarterback, but he's going to put the ball down the field and give his guys chances.
And the hope is that Jackson Dart is cleared soon enough where this is a 1 or 2 week thing.
Right.
That we're not watching Jameis Winston for the rest of the season because we all want Jackson Dart to A, be healthy, mm-hmm. and B, watch him play football. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Ralph in Waterbury, Connecticut. Good afternoon, Ralph.
Hey, Evan. Thanks for taking my call. Tiki, how you doing?
All's good. What's up?
Not much. Listen, that was a great interview with that reporter. I really enjoyed it.
Connor,
you guys do a great job.
Thank you. He's great. Yeah, you should read him as
guys
well.
He was on point, and it was very informational. Great questions and everything. Tiki, I got a question for you.
What's up?
I'm a 67-year-old Giants fan that, you know, LT was my idol until you took the field. I got a bucket list, and you're having lunch with you is on it. How do we do that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm not even kidding, dude. I really would like to sit down with you for a half hour and have lunch and talk Giants.
Hang with Tommy.
That would be an event in my life.
Hang with Tommy, and we'll get I'll get your information.
How about that? Look at that. That's a good guy right there. All right, we'll put you on hold. You could make this a cottage industry. $100 a head, all of a sudden, Tiki's going to make some money. Let's go to John in Pennsylvania. Hey, John.
How's it going? Giants are headed towards another top five pick this year. I don't want another retread. I don't want another, hot name, hot coordinator. But the experienced coaches don't give you much hope. Three names that I would like to hear you guys throw a comment at is Doug Peterson, Rex Ryan, or would the NFL even welcome back John Gruden?
We'll start with Doug Peterson because you don't think that's a good idea.
I don't. I called a couple of games with Doug, and I like Doug a lot. He's a peer. I mean, he's the same age as me, relatively, and was in the league when I was in the league. When I went to the media side, he stayed, went into coaching, and had a ton of success. Took Chip Kelly's team, won a Super Bowl, and ultimately it got really wonky, is the best way to put it, in Philadelphia, and they ended up firing him after he basically tanked the game at the end of the season to hurt the Giants in an interesting fashion. He kind of was dormant for a while until he got the Jacksonville job. And down in Jacksonville, it felt like he couldn't push the right buttons for a team that had all kinds of talent. Now, Jacksonville has historically been bad, but they had some good talent on that team, from Trevor Lawrence, who was getting yo-yoed with the different coaching staffs that kept coming in there, Travis Etienne, I forget the receivers now, but they had a good squad down there. And it felt to me like he just couldn't push the right buttons.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because the team was young. It just worried me, because I used to have a really high opinion of him as a coach. It just worried me.
See,
now, it's not necessarily he's going to be bad if he gets hired, but there's now a question mark.
And I think that's fair. Like, Doug Peterson, just as a resume observer, seems like a perfect candidate. I mean, he coached in Philadelphia, where you're dealing with the media pressures you're going to deal with New York. Right. And, oh, by the way, won a Super Bowl, which is incredible. I mean, think about the long list of times they didn't win a championship prior to Doug Peterson. And then even in Jacksonville, like the first couple of years, it seemed like he helped turn around that organization and Trevor Lawrence. And then, yes, it ended horribly. So his overall resume is pretty solid.
Right.
And that's why, to me, when I hear a name like that, I'm like, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's worth exploring.
100%.
Got one other major blemish with him, though.
Go ahead.
He tanked the game.
That doesn't matter, though.
Isn't winning everything?
Yeah, but it did you a favor, because if he doesn't tank that game and the Giants win the division at 6-10, Joe Judge is likely not fired following the 2021 season.
I don't know.
Which means
that,
you get more Joe Judge.
I mean, Ben McAdoo got fired after an 11-5.
No, you're right. I mean, you never know, but I wouldn't put that as a guy won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Like, isn't that enough to say I'm interested? And yes, it was 8 years ago, but he still did it. Rex Ryan, if he ever wants to coach again, needs to go and be a defensive coordinator. And I think he wants to, because I know he interviewed with Sean Payton to get that Denver job. But for now, that's just talk radio fodder. And John Gruden, I explained this yesterday. I think a team could take a chance on John Gruden. I think the optics of the Giants doing it just would never happen.
Yeah.
Considering they're in the Brian Flores lawsuit. There's still an outstanding lawsuit with Gruden in the NFL. I just think the look of it would just never happen. So other teams may take that risk with John Gruden. And by the way, forgetting about all the email stuff and what he said, my biggest worry about John Gruden as a coach is that I don't think he's been good for a long time.
Yep.
Can I bring up another name before somebody else brings it up? Over the
Stop asking questions and just do it.
All right. Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, CEO type, ran the Texans into the playoffs with crappy quarterbacking for a long time. Is struggling at BC, but I don't blame
him
for that.
Did you see his media session a couple of days ago at BC?
It was very funny. What's up, Trevor?
It was funny, but he was like, you think Aaron Glenn's being a jerk. It was right on another level.
But it's different in college.
It's different. He's going to handle the New York media.
I mean, it's the Boston media.
We're all freaking out about Aaron Glenn. Right.
BC is 1-7.
Yeah, but again, am I holding his college record against him? Like, guys who are good college coaches can be bad NFL coaches. Why can't a good NFL coach be a bad college coach?
I always thought Bill O'Brien was a very solid coach for the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. And when he was removed, I reminded people, don't view him as the general manager. That was probably his downfall, was that he was given too much power.
Yeah.
But I am turned off by what's happening right now in college, and even that press conference the other day was just so bad. Like, you ain't going to put that guy in front of the New York media? And especially, you're a hypocrite because you're sitting here bitching about Aaron Glenn. That's on steroids compared to Aaron Glenn.
I'm not pounding the table for Bill O'Brien. I'm just trying to think outside the box of, like, CEO types who have been head coaches that maybe deserve another
chance. His NFL experience is fine. Made the playoffs four different times. Like, it's a solid resume.
Yep.
Let's go to Lee on Long Island. Hey, Lee.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
All right. I actually wanted to touch on something Joe said the other day before I do regarding Connor Hughes and with Aaron Glenn. You know, he made a comment just now about Aaron Glenn, taking these questions and, like, you know, these adversarial questions. I don't believe that the media has been adversarial with him. They're asking him who's, you know, about injury guys on the injury report and who the quarterback is going to be. These aren't like gotcha questions. These aren't like, I don't. You know,
I think he's referring to that it may become more adversarial, that if they lose to New England badly, the tone of that press conference may be very different as opposed to him not playing these games. And it may garner an atmosphere that's a lot more, you know, back and forth than maybe it would have been. Fair or not.
And snip. But now, regarding with Joseph the other day, he said something the other day, Evan, and you didn't push back, and I really think you should have.
He said,
you asked him about, like, you know, in the offseason, do you care where you get the quarterback from? And he goes, no, we have to get our guy. We have to get our guy. It never works out. And then he brought up Drew Brees as being like the only guy that it doesn't work out for. Like, Matthew Stafford just won a Super Bowl with a team that he was not drafted by. Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, they love him. Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones in Indianapolis. Like, there were just guys playing today, I can name five, that switched teams and the teams are having great.
I thought he was referring to us, like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and the failures of the Jets.
But Woody Johnson added those guys. When he added Brett Favre, he was trying to sell tickets to a new stadium. It wasn't about winning football. It's about making a splash in the headlines. Like, it's not the same thing.
No, Lee,
I don't care where the quarterback comes from.
But Lee, you're right. There are examples, and it's going to increasingly be the case because teams are ready to move on from guys who they at one point thought were their franchise quarterback. They'll move on from them, right? They're not worried about the financial repercussions if they've already paid a guy. And so you're getting good quarterbacks getting a fresh start, which is it's not rare because now it happens all the time.
Right.
It used to be rare. And I think what Joe was alluding to was that the fact that the Jets have never done it successfully.
They haven't. But that wouldn't scare me. I mean, personally. And where I disagreed the most with Joe when he joined us on Monday, and he'll join us on Friday in reacting to the Patriot game, was Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe is insane. I don't want anything to do with this guy. He's always hurt, bah, bah, bah. And he is hurt a lot. Like, I can't deny that Joe Burrow has on his resume the injury-prone designation. But where I would argue with Joe and anyone else is the risks of Joe Burrow's health, to me, is less than the risk of drafting a young quarterback and hoping beyond hope you develop that quarterback. Yeah. Joe Burrow has already shown us he's good enough to quarterback his team to a Super Bowl. He's good enough to be an MVP caliber player when he's healthy. So if the only risk I'm taking with Joe Burrow, who is 29, not 39,
right,
is health, I would gladly take that risk over the risk of the unknown when it comes to every young quarterback we talk about.
I think Cincinnati would be ridiculously short-sighted to move on from Joe Burrow.
Well, that's the other side. The other side is, would the Bengals do it? Right. And you're right. Let's put that aside for a second. Mm-hmm. If somehow they did, would you, if you were advising the Jets, he's go after
him? He's one of the top quarterbacks in football.
That's all I'm saying.
When he's healthy. And that's just it's increasingly becoming the issue when he's healthy.
Think about it this way, okay? I want you to think about this. If a quarterback in the prime of their career, with the resume and the success of Joe Burrow, becomes available for whatever reason, why do you think it happened? There's usually a blemish.
Of course.
There's something. And in Joe Burrow's case, if somehow he did become available, it would be because of injury. It'd be because of concerns. I take that risk. And I learned this because, let me take you back many years ago, Peyton Manning had the neck injury, missed an entire year with the Indianapolis Colts, and then went on a free agent tour. We remember this?
Yeah, of course.
The Jets were loosely attached to Peyton Manning. They had Mark Sanchez. They had some success with Mark. And I remember coming on the radio saying, I don't want to do it. Mark's younger, and Peyton's older, and he's coming off injury. I didn't want to do it. Now, I don't know if the Jets ever would have pursued it hard or if Peyton would have ever even said yes. But could you imagine how different Jet history would have been if they brought in even the aging Peyton Manning? He had like three or four more MVP caliber seasons. There was a risk, though. He was coming off neck fusion surgery. Right. There's always a risk.
Right.
And the question is it worth the risk? If Joe Burrow ever became available in this fictitious world, Tiki, where he does, sign me up for the risk.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. And again, I just don't think that's ever going to happen. He's too good to be let go.
Jim is in Madison. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Listen, I had to call in and tell you how awesome I thought the Cinco de Peno segment was. I loved everybody's list. I got such a kick out of it. And, you know, reason being is because Peno losses, some of them are universal. Like for a Giants fan, everybody, you can say Giants, Niners, playoff, you know, oh, yeah, I remember that. And some of them are so personal. You remember that gut punch, you know, to this day, probably your whole life.
Right.
You know, and I could hear that coming through the radio with you guys.
No, it was fun. A good segment Evan came up with.
It sure was. And I would love to get Tiki's reaction to one of my top ones.
Go ahead.
That you were very involved in. give me a second on this because I'm getting angry just thinking about it. Not you, though, Tiki.
All right, go ahead.
2001, the year after the Ravens Super Bowl, week 16, Giants-Eagles at the Vet. Okay. And Eagles win, they win the division. Giants win, they keep themselves alive. David Akers kicks a field goal to go up by three with 7 seconds left. There's one play left. And I'm assuming game is over, all right?
No.
So Kerry Collins drops it to Tiki.
Certain people have an 80-yard play, and guess what? Sean Payton had an 80-yard play. So just let me finish this for you, Jim, because and we'll hold you here so you can ask a question after. Is called the Lambuth Special because Ron Dixon went to Lambuth University, and we practiced this from the first week of training camp. So the play is designed to be a hitch and go. So you throw a hitch to Ike Hilliard, or a hitch and lateral. Throw the hitch to Ike Hilliard, then I leak out of the backfield. He laterals it to me out by the numbers. And then I cross the field. So all the movement goes to the left side. Then I go all the way back across to the right side. So all the movement now goes back to the right side. I lateral it back to Ron Dixon, who's coming back left. And then he gets the wall and goes down the sideline. So what happened, and this is why it didn't work, Jim, is because Ike Taylor, who was the cornerback? Taylor? It was Ike Taylor or Reese. I can't remember which cornerback it was. Played press man on Ike. It was like they knew it was coming. And so Kerry couldn't throw the ball to Ike because it was press coverage. You can't throw a hitch and lateral to a guy who's in press coverage. So Kerry just yells at me, go out, I'll throw it to you. Like as the ball is snapped, he's like, go out, I'll throw it to you.
Oh, my God.
And so I run out, and I'm like, all right, what do I do? I'm just trying to like buy time to find space and get the timing rally. But he's getting pressure, so he has to throw it to me. I then try to get across the field and get it to Ron Dixon, but the timing is all screwed up. But he still gets it, and he goes 77 yards and gets knocked out at the 3-yard line. I mean, wow. That was painful.
Thank you for walking me through that. And I'd love to, you know, just the reaction, because this is going from, you know, an all-time historic
comeback against your arch rival, that would have been their DeSean Jackson game. They would have been talking about the Ron Dixon game.
That's true.
And going from that type of game to season over in the span of 5 seconds.
Right.
I mean, when I tell you I was going berserk in my parents' basement at the time, go, go, go. And also at the time, and I appreciate the extra time, I'll be done in a second. You know, I'm about 14, 15 years old, and this to me is right when it's turning from, you know, I'm a fan, I'm having fun, this is great, to now, like, I'm invested. I live and die with these games. And that was one for me that was crushing. To this day, I remember the feeling. I couldn't move from that couch for hours.
Yeah.
So, Tiki, if you just talk about the locker room after that.
Yeah.
And thanks, I mean, a lot, guys. I really had fun with that.
So that safety, his name was Damon Moore. Number, he's 43. He was so out of the play, just kind of chilling, like, this is never going to work. It's not going to happen. But when I lateraled it to Ron, and he was now, I don't know, 20 yards past me, he got on his horse, and somehow, Ron Dixon was the fastest guy, one of the fastest guys on the team. He chased him down from a bad angle and got and clipped him right before the end zone. I actually don't remember the locker room after that game. But I remember kind of being, man, like, how did that play work so well and then not work?
Yeah.
I don't think we were mad. It was just kind of like, football is such a game of inches. And, like, precision matters so much. And when one thing gets screwed up, it can just derail everything.
And if it worked, our last call, Jim points it out, changes Eagle history.
Yeah.
That's all of a sudden a game that's, you know, living in Eagle history as opposed to a nice solid 24-21 win in late December.
Right.
Sean's got his Cinco de 5-0 list. By the way, the Cinco de Panos, which we did last week, Digital did a very good job. They put it all together in one neat package so you could hear Sean, Tommy's, mine, Tiki's, all of our Cinco de Panos in one place if you go to the WFAN YouTube page. So if you missed it, it's our list of our most painful losses all in one spot if you subscribe to the YouTube page, WFAN. We have a Cinco de 5-0 coming up in a few minutes. Plus, Scott Boras has graced us all with a lot of interesting comments around free agents that impact us. Pete Alonso, Cody Bellinger, amongst others. We will hear from the super agent coming up in just a few minutes.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.